Behold, the fields are white. It's harvest time. Say not for months, then come the harvest.
With that familiar theme song, we're reminded it's time once again for the Harvest Time Gospel Broadcast. This is a daily gospel broadcast with special emphasis on missions and world evangelization under the direction of Dr. Stennett Ballou of Resaca, Georgia. And now, here is Dr. Ballou and today's broadcast.
Greetings, radio friends. What a joy and privilege it is again to come to your place of listening by means of radio and share together with you another gospel broadcast on Harvest Time. I trust whatever you're doing today, you can just take time out and open the Word of God, and you study along with us as we look at the Word of God together. You pray the Lord will speak to our heart. God will bless us, and His will be done. It's a real joy for me to come to your place of listening, and I appreciate the open door, the heaven-bought privilege that our Lord allows us day after day to do so. Let me encourage you that you get your Bible, if it's ever possible, and study with us as we look in the Word of God today. In the book of Romans, chapter number 10, we'll be looking here today at some verses, and I trust God will speak to our heart, and we'll see what God has to say in this portion of the Word of God as we continue the message that I've been preaching on for several days now. But preacher, why missions? But preacher, why missions? Let me make a statement I made several broadcasts ago. To those who are natural-minded, those who are carnal-minded, missions almost looks like a rather foolish thing. You see, when we have a missions meeting, and in the work of missions, we're trying to get people whom we could use to serve the Lord here at home, to leave home and go somewhere else around the world and preach the gospel and serve the Lord there. Then we're trying to raise money that could be used very well right here at home and send that money to support those missionaries that they might serve the Lord on a foreign field. So we come to face this question and look at it for the last several broadcasts on Preacher, Why Missions? And as we've been studying, I pointed out to you two thoughts already from the Word of God. I want to give you a third one today and finish the message if I possibly can. First of all, I answered the question, Preacher, why missions? By saying the command of the Scriptures demand that we be involved in the work of missions. Again, I say it, I know I'm repetitious, but I know of no way that any person has a scriptural right to claim to be a New Testament Christian if they're not involved in carrying out the Great Commission. And I know of no way that a church could be identified as a New Testament church if that church ignores the Great Commission. And may I say again, either you're ignoring the commission or you're involved in carrying out the commission given by the resurrected Lord. So we see that the command of the Scriptures demand that we be involved in the work of missions. And then second, I pointed out to you from the Word of God that the condition of the sinner demands that we be involved in the work of God. Oh, I wish I could drive this home today. You see, a sinner does not have it in himself to save himself. He is a hopeless, helpless, hell-bound sinner. And unless he's rescued by the power of the gospel, he'll lift up his eyes one day in a Christless hell. So the condition of the sinner demands that we be involved in the work of missions. As we study the Word of God about the work of the sinner, the condition of the sinner, we discovered that the sinner has a heart that's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. We discovered that that sinner has a mind that is darkened by the god of this world, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto him and he be saved by the grace of God. But not only he's got a heart that's deceitful, he's got a mind that's darkened, he has a body that's dying, and the flesh cries out, I'm only going to pass this way one time. I'm getting older every day. Meet my need. Satisfy my desire. Fulfill my lust. And so that sinner, my friend, his condition is, he's got a heart that's deceitful, a mind that's darkened, a body that's dying. And when you summarize that in the scripture, you find in Ephesians 2:1, and you have been quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sin. And so we saw the command of the scripture demands that we get involved in the work of missions. The condition of the sinner demands that we get involved in the work of missions. But then thirdly, I want us to look today at the channel of salvation demands that we get involved in the work of missions. When I use the word, the expression, the channel of salvation, my mind goes back to the book of Matthew chapter number 7 and verse number 14, where the word of God said, "Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Oh, my friend, listen. The way to hell is a broad road. It's a wide gate. But the way to heaven is a narrow, difficult passage. It's a straight and it's a narrow way. And that, for that reason, we must get involved in the work of missions, the channel of salvation. You see, listen to me, dear friend. Oh, please hear me today. My friend, there are not many ways that lead to heaven. There are not multiple ways that a sinner can get to heaven. I know we live in a get-along society, a compromising society, a soothing society, where everybody wants to think there's good in everybody, and all churches and all religions lead to heaven, and we may go different routes, but we'll wind up at the same destination. I want to tell you, my friend, that's a bunch of hogwash from the devil to deceive you and keep you in your sin and lead you into a Christless hell. There's not many ways to be saved. And then I must say to you, there are some people who believe there's a Baptist way, there's a Pentecostal way, there's a Methodist way, there's a Catholic way. And then many people feel like that they have their own way. But I want to tell you, my friend, there's not but one way to God. There are some who believe, well, there's an American way, there's an African way, there's an Australian way. But I want to tell you again, that's wrong. There's not but one way to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's not but one way to God. There's not but one way to heaven, the city of God, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse number 9, "I am the door, and if by me any man enter in, he shall be saved by the grace of God." You see, that person of the gospel, Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." So my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ is the door. He said again in John chapter 14, verse number 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." And again, the word of God said in Acts chapter 4, verse number 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name given under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved." So the only hope of a sinner, my friend, ever getting to heaven is that he hear the message of Christ and believe the message of Christ and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. The channel of salvation, it's a narrow way, it's a difficult way, it's a straight way, it's a narrow way. And my friend, there'll be few that go in there as compared to those multitudes who will go into the broad way and the wide gate that leads them into hell. But what is that narrow way? What is that passageway that's spoken of in the Word of God? And I want to look at Romans chapter number 10 for just the remaining time of the broadcast today. Let me say to you quickly, my friend, that way is not, it's not man's idea. It's not man's philosophy. It's not man's religion. May I just say to you this morning that salvation is not accomplished. It's not wrought in your life by going to church meetings. You could go to church all your life and never miss a service and still die in your sin and go to hell. Salvation is not gaining a church membership. You could could join every church in the country and be baptized in every mud puddle in the country until all the tadpoles knew you by name. But my friend, you'd still go to hell if you were not saved by the grace of God. So it's not giving to church. It's not going to church meetings. It's not gaining a church membership. Then may I say to you, salvation is not wrought in your life by giving to church ministries and church missions. You cannot buy your way into the city of God. Salvation is not in a new leaf. It's a new life. Salvation is not turning around in the road. It's changing roads. It's not a New Year's resolution, but it's a new you, regenerated by the power of God. You say, well, preacher, how does it come to pass? Look at your Bible, Romans chapter number 10, verse number 9 and 10. The word of God said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I like that verse of scripture. I love it. Look at verse number 10. The Bible said, for with a heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with a mouth confession is made unto salvation. And again, I've used that verse of scripture many times, and I love and appreciate that verse of scripture. Then the Bible said in Romans chapter 10 again, verse number 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And of course, again, I emphasize, you do not give that verse of scripture to someone who's not had a thought of God in 30 days and tell them that they believe they're saved. No, there's got to be the preparatory work of the Holy Spirit as he works a work of conviction in their life before they can ever be saved by simply calling upon the name of the Lord. But you say, well, preacher, when I look at verse number 13, then why should I worry about missions? Because it's not my fault, it's theirs. If all they've got to do is call upon the name of the Lord to be saved, then they ought to call. It's their fault, not mine. And we pass a responsibility. But when we start doing that, God in verse number 14 starts asking some questions. God said in chapter 14, verse number 14 of chapter 10 of Romans, the word of God said, how then shall they call on him in whom they've not heard? And you say, well, that's not my fault. They ought to hear. The Bible said, then how shall they believe in him whom they've not heard? How shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? How shall they believe on him in whom they've not heard? Well, it's not my fault. They ought to believe. They ought to hear. But then the Bible said, how shall they hear without a preacher? And you say, well, I'm not a preacher. You preachers ought to go preach to them. But then the word of God said, how shall they preach except they be sent? You see, what I'm coming down to this, we're so guilty of passing the buck, passing the responsibility, putting it off on someone else. But here's the way that God saves sinners. God calls preachers. Yes, I still believe, I still know that God still calls preachers. And then the church sends those preachers. They must be sent. They must be sent. And then when that preacher goes and preaches the word of God, the word of God produces faith in the heart of that sinner. And then when that faith is produced in the heart of that sinner by the preaching of the word of God and the preaching of the gospel, then that sinner will cry out to the Lord for salvation, call upon the name of the Lord. And the moment he does, God will save him by God's amazing grace. Again, I want to emphasize, please hear me. There is no other way. There is no other hope. There is no other salvation. There is no other message that can convert a sinner into a saint, that can regenerate a deceitful heart, that can resurrect one who's dead spiritually, or one that can reveal the need of a mind that is blinded in sin, but the message of the gospel. So why must we go? We must go to them, or they'll go to hell. If we do not take them the gospel and preach to them the way to God, they'll live in heathen darkness, they'll die in that heathen darkness, and they'll lift their eyes in a Christless hell. We cannot stay home. We cannot sit still. We must be up and about the Father's business. We must throw out the lifeline and preach them the word of God before it's eternally too late. Father, take the word. Use it to your glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, I trust you've enjoyed the broadcast today. I thank the Lord for the privilege it's mine to meet with you by means of radio and study the Word of God together. I do encourage you that you pray for the broadcast. The Lord would bless it and use it and make it a blessing day after day as we send out the message of the Word of God. And then I'd like to encourage you that you write to us. Letters are always a blessing to know people are listening and being blessed of the Lord by the means of the broadcast. So I encourage you today, if you would, take time and sit down and write to us. simply address that letter to Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. That's Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. If the Lord should lead you to do so, it would be a blessing if you could share with us in the financial burden of the radio ministry. Be sure to tell others about the broadcast and join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, for the Harvest Time broadcast. God bless you until our next broadcast.
It's home.